I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So we'll greet each other saying, God loves you, Jesus loves you. So our church go through the Bible in chronological order, because the Bible is not recorded in a chronological order. So when we go through, it's a chronological order to help people to understand easier in historically. So even though we don't go to the theology school to learn the Bible, so we can easily understand as we go through chronological order. So, and I'm trying to introduce lots of information. So while you understand, listen and understand, it helps you to understand a lot easier. So just listening is sometimes not good enough to understand the background. So that's why I try to show all these diagrams and maps and materials on the screens. So I hope it helps you to understand it easier and what God clearly wants to tell you about through the Bible. All this information is uploaded to our website, Melbourne City Church, www.melbournecitychurch.com. So whoever interested, and you can log in and download and you utilize materials. The 11th sermon for the Exodus for the chapter 20 to 24. It's a topic with how to live happily as a holy people. So we are now looking at the history of the Exodus, the history of the Israelites who had been held in the slavery in Egypt, crossed the Red Sea and arrived at Mount Sinai. So last week God called the people who were saved from the Egypt, the land of death, to the Mount Sinai, in the wilderness, which is opposite to the promised land, Canaan, and invite them into the covenant of the living as people of God. The right faith begins from the knowing the true identities of who God is and who I am. So before God accomplished ministry with his saved people, he tried to let people know the identity first, about who God is and who they are. So understanding each other correctly and sincerely before discussing what kind of work and mission is important. So we can avoid misunderstanding when things are in progress. So even if you do not have a lot of detail, you will be able to move in the right direction with the confidence with those people. So when we begin to live a life of faith as a Christian, before getting accustomed to the ministry and the culture of the church, you should have a personal encountering moment with God and know who God is and what identity you have as a born-again Christian. So this is the order of spiritual companionship that God created man with free will. So when we believe in Jesus and come to church, which is Mount Sinai today, we should not forget encountering God is the highest priority of the faith journey. So applying this principle in our church through the church introductory class, it has the same meaning as the Sinai covenant. We have a covenant process to know God and the church.
in MCC.
So in your journey of faith, journey of the faith,
so we invite you and introduce you what is the church and the identity of the Christianity, and this is how we begin our church, and this is the purpose of the church introductory class. It's like a covenant in Mount Sinai for the Israelite. So if you don't know why we're doing it, it's just becoming a religious practice. So in your faith, journey of the faith, no matter how long you have come to church, you need to consider whether you have this personal encountering moment with God. So if you don't, I hope you to resume the life of faith in the right direction through the time of personal meeting with God in front of Mount Sinai. So in chapter 19, God called people and He made a covenant. In chapter 20, God speaks directly to the people. So when God said, the Bible described, the people were trembling with fear, watching the thunder roll, the flash of the lightning, the trumpet sounding loud, the smoke in the mountains, verse 18. It seems to be a strong presence voice make people scared to die, on verse 19. So all the people said Moses as a representative to hear God speak for them. The first word of covenant of God is chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. We know so well that the most important commandment of Christianity, the Ten Commandments, came from the Sinai promise here. So some people claim that Moses made some copies from the Egypt morality, but when you look at the text here, the origin of the Ten Commandments is only from God. In verse chapter 28, verse 12, God said, I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commandment I have written for their instructions. And the Ten Commandments were first mentioned by God in the presence of all the people. So the Ten Commandments show people the value and the way of living as God's people after salvation. But if you look closely at the Ten Commandments, this is not religious order. It is a law of love that allows us to live in love and trust with God and each other. So all the laws and regulations in the Bible are not for God, but for the happy life of man. The reason men make God in the image of idolatry is to live according to their own desire. The beginning of all sins starts from the greed of man. The animal and natures are not greed at all. But only human beings with free will are filled with greed and many other sins. So men are sinful. So when we look at the news on the TVs around today, we can say, how can that happen? How evil does the man? That is our nature. So through Ten Commandments, God tells man a very important way to live happily with each other for the purpose of the creation. So if you look at the first three commandments, the number one, you shall have no other God before me. Number two, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath, on in the under water below. The third, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The purpose of this covenant is not to threaten to kill if it is not kept, but to live in love relationship with God. If humans begin to make idols as they desire, the whole world is covered with sin. That is why God, from the first commandment to the third commandment, says not to make idols according to greed. It is true way of happiness, a life of God's people. It tells you do not make God as an idol that fulfills what you want, like a genie in the magic lamp. The beginning of all sins of the man is because of he misunderstands God and guesses according to his own desire. So God tells the first commandment of all laws and ordinances is to stand in person, relationship of truth, trust, and the relationship of love. It is not just to do or don't. It tells us who is the one promised us and how he wants to meet with us. It is clear that God is not to be treated an idol, but in personal relationship with us. So consider your faith. Is it God you believe in is what you expect to be, or God he is? Fourth, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. This has been universally regarded as for God's sake, but this was also for people. In fact, all the commandments and the law are for man, not for God. When the Sabbath is thought to be for God, we do not know God's intention clearly in the first and second and third commandment. Is it because you do not regard God in personal relationship but as a God who has to be worshipped only? So from the Bible, you do not see it as a letter of love for our loved one, but as a religious law. You may think that the commandment is only for God. From the first commandment to the fourth commandment, it's a total misunderstanding. So even keeping the Sabbath day, fourth commandment, is seen as a religious law. But Jesus speaks clearly of this commandment. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In Mark chapter 2, verse 27. Now we work when we want to do without forced labor, but at the time there are people who have lived a life of 365 days a year as a slave. So the Creator God commanded man to rest in verse 10. So it is because not only the king or the powerful men are resting, but for many weak people who are not guaranteed to be rested. When we consider Jesus' word in the New Testament as the basis, Matthew chapter 12, verse 1 to 13, the Sabbath is a day for man. It should be a day not to confine people to the bridle of religion, but to remember God who gives us the rest, and to be thankful for God's infinite mercy. So you remember the heart of God. And we must reconsider things we are doing in the church today correspond to the meaning of the Sabbath, and think about how we can convey the meaning of Sabbath to Sunday today. And fifth, honor your parents. Sixth, you shall not murder. 7th, you shall not commit adultery. 8th, you shall not steal. 9th, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. 10th, you shall not covet your neighbor's property. You remember the event of Mara? God transferred, changed the water, the bitter water to the sweet water, and he gave the law. The reason for giving these laws and ordinances is to test people and to fear God, to keep them from sinning, as in verse 12, 20. the root of Merah. Man lives a humble and careful life when they fear God. So fearing God is a state in which we firmly believe in the existence of God, and a state of certainty that God is really with me and is in me and is with me. It means to live with the consciousness of Coram Deo. The Deo means God, and Coram means in the presence of. So Coram Deo is in the presence of God. So this Ten Commandments is not a religious law, but a loving God give us for a safe and happy life. So what is repeated at the end of the chapter 20 is that you should not distort and idolize God. We should not make God our own way. So even when people build the altar, they should not use the dressed stone, which is a trimmed stone, but to use it as it is. God wants to have a true relationship between God and people, not as a, just the worship, let us just not want us to just worship God as a God. He wants to, in a person, want to build a personal relationship with us. The core of the Ten Commandments is that you can have a spiritual standard and a sense to live in the presence of God. So why do the world live at random? They do not believe in God's existence, recognition. They think there is no God. If you believe that Almighty God is alive, we will not live as we live today. Through the Ten Commandments, you must have a spiritual sense and the awareness of God and believe in the existence of God. The more and more you will know how precious law and regulations are as a standard for living. In chapter 20, the Ten Commandments are spoken, and the people cannot stand trembling and dare in the presence of God's existence and speaking, so that they ask to hear the will of God through Moses. So chapter 21 through 23 tells us more detailed practical laws based on Ten Commandments. So these are the actual social law in which people live as a people of God in a community. So these parts can be understood if you read thoroughly. So rather than explain every single contents, I'll try to look into what we can have a difficulty in understanding and what we can be curious about. So chapter 21, human right and property rights. From verse 1 to 11, regulation of the manservant. Does God accept slavery? No. But however, this is the consequence of people's greed, and God protects the importance of human rights and the preciousness of human being in these circumstances through the statute. Another is that slaves from other countries at this time were not treated as a human being. In this age, God protected human rights. So here the servant is people sold as a slave because they cannot afford themselves or their families because of the poverty. God ordered them to keep the human right. So literally speaking, it refers to employees belong to one company today. So today, as a human right improve, more of protection for employees are legalized. But it can be seen that God already spoke through this Sinai covenant, which is 3,500 years ago. So verse 12 to 17 is four sins of the death penalty, which is a murder, assaulting parents, kidnapping, and cursing parents, referred to the death penalty. So after human right, the first thing mentioned is about death penalty. The death penalty was given by God to His people by law and by ordinance. However, He has made it clear to the intentional murder and the case that are not. And He respects human rights as much as possible by creating a system of refugees. In a real Jewish society, if there is a sinner to be executed, at least 23 judges fast a day before hearing and decide on the death penalty. At this time, at least 13 out of 23 judges must obtain consent. Verse 18 to 27 is a compensation of damages. And 28 to 36 is compensation order for livestock. So eye for eye, tooth for tooth. This law is called the retaliation law. The lex talionis talio law, which does not refer to the act of personal revenge or act of doing so. The meaning of this law is, first, to know that no matter how angry you should not hurt others. In the sense, the focus is on preventing crime. The purpose is to set a strict standard so that you can calm and control your emotion even when you are emotionally disturbed. However, if the emotional control is not done and an incident happens, the second thing is to say that it is important to treat the judge fairly. So when the problem occurs, the perpetrator and the victim cannot make a fair judgment. So God will set up a judge to solve the problem, but the judge will not be on one side, but will be judged fairly by God's standard, which is a symbol of fairness on any court. Thus, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, the retaliation law is not guideline for individual revenge, but rather a guideline for prevention and fair judgment. Chapter 22, property rights, various code of conduct. Verse 1 to 4, regulation on the thief. Verse 5 to 6, indemnity by mistake. Verse 7 to 13, regulation on storage. Verse 14 to 15, ordinance on the ledger. So we live in one community and respect one another's personality and property. The key of God's regulation is to implement a justice and justice society that can prevent the community from self-destruction and destruction as a result of mutual distrust and comes with injustice when dealing with the problem. So verse 16-17, regulation on marital sex offenses. Verse 18 to 20 is ordinance on shamanism, mutual life, idol. God speaks not only spiritual purity, but the need for a holy life that simultaneously demands physical purity. Because of physical things are directly related to the spiritual things, God gives the clear guidance to prevent spiritual blindness, which leads the community to self-destruction and to be destroyed. Verse 21 to 27, ordinance for the social disadvantaged. God did not create the same cloned people in the human world. So some are strong, some are weak, some are smart, some are physically healthier than others. There are many different people at the same time. Right now, children, women, and elderly people are naturally weaker than young men and a man and need care and protection. So the society we live in should have a rule: the strong protect the weak to live together. So God's law always has instruction to protect these weak and keep them together. God always mentioned fair and justice. So even though we are given equally, some are strong, some are weak. So this society cannot, if they competed, it's incompatible. So that's why also God said fairly and with justice. Fair and justice. The verse 28, judgment and similar regulation. The order of community is important. The society where order is collapsed will become an animal world. The acknowledgement of the authority established by God in each community is the foundation which a society can survive and sustainable. Of course, those who are in a position of authority should feel that God is above and that they should remember this authority came from God. Verse 29 to 31, ordinance on religious duties. So what God wants is remembrance of being a covenant with God. So what is more important than the law in the relationship is to trust each other. No matter how good ordinance is, if one loses faith and forget the heart of love, everything will become a burden. So God gives the instruction to remember the sincerity of God in law and ordinance. So I want you to remember the first moment you invited into the church and serve each other, loving God sincerely, not by force. So chapter 23, Trial Sabbathia. Verse 1 to 3, ordinance for fair trials. Verse 4 to 5, help the enemy. And verse 6 to 9, ordinance for the implementation of social justice. Implementation of social justice. Equitable application and the definition of the law is very important because the society in which justice has fallen is self-destructive. So even if it is hard to live honestly right now, people do not dislike honest living if honesty and justice bring fair consequences. But if the trial is not fair and justice, the society will be destroyed in an instant. So God also become a fair God for His people. So if we grasp the contents of the covenant God is setting up right now, the most important point is that the fair and justice are implemented as mentioned above. So God ordered not to force testimony in the Ten Commandments to harm his neighbors and not to follow evil in many opinions. Also, he does not want to prejudice in favor of poor and frail person. Because it is not every rich is bad, every poor is good, it is giving a guidance to make a fair judgment. God reiterates that in particular, all judges should not receive bribes and should be impartial. It also gives us guideline to love our neighbors and Gentiles and even enemy. The Bible also say God in the Bible in the common covenant he said the judges shouldn't receive the bribe to make the trial fair. So God reminded the Israelites even about treating the Gentile, because once they were a Gentile when they were in Egypt. So when they treat other Gentile, they have to treat like with the love. Verse 10 to 13, year of Sabbath and Sabbath order. Verse 14 to 17, Israel, three great seasons. Verse 18 to 19, ordinance on the preservation of goods and land. So God made the nature, people, and animals to take a rest before being able to stand again and work again. Especially, man is not made to run until it is broken like a machine. But stop regularly, take a rest regularly to check up the direction and to think again to prepare it to continue its way. So when we manage our time, we should consider this. Sometimes we easily become workaholic. So check up ourselves regularly by taking a rest on a Sabbath, which helps us not to lose our direction. So whenever story about Sabbath come up, we see that God works for 6 days and rests on seventh day. In the true meaning of the rest, people rest and remember the whole world as God's creation. So you can see the wonderful care of God who take care of the earth, even the beasts have a rest. It is also God who keeps the annual festival. So for the success of the people, sometimes they will be becoming workaholic, achieve their goal and their ambition. But before they reach to their goal, probably they lose their life or lose health. So having a rest is very important, having a Sabbath. So these are three annual festivals: unleavened bread, harvesting first fruit of crops, and the ingathering at the end of the year harvesting, and keep people remember and remind about what God has done for them and how God sincerely and looking after them. So after Exodus, actually they meant to head to the Canaan, but God led them to the Mountain Sinai, which is in the opposite direction. Why? The concept of the rest, concept of an annual festival, is to remember God and not forget His sincerity. And it's not just to remember, but to get rich harvest for each season, so that people remember how sincerely God always loved them. So verse 20 to 33, God's promise concerning the conquest of the Canaan. The people rescued from the Egypt are not just free from, but a clear free to. Just as God covenanted on Mount Sinai, there is a mission to live as a priest in the nations. So the land of Canaan, in which milk and honey flow, is a land of mission, and it tells how to live there. It is to make them to know ordinance, to live as the covenant people who are called. This covenant God made with the Israelites at the Mountain Sinai, it was a revelation during the time. The strong take care of the weak, the rich look after poor, the Lord look after their slave, and have a Sabbath equally, no matter rich or poor, and strong and weak. So restoring the relationship with God should be the prior when we come to the church, when we having our Christian belief, rather than we come into the church and doing a religious practice. So God now make a mutual covenant, not just a way to worship God, but to tell people how to care for each other. The laws and ordinances which the law gave to his people through the covenant are nothing for God. The God's dream of a holy priesthood is not a sacrifice to build up the altar to serve God, but to show how enormous the power of God is, but to believe in God's existence and to live in care and love for each other. So we live in fair social order given from the God. God is not interested in worshipping and being worshipped by people as a very enormous God. Rather, the people he created desire to believe that God is the creator, to live together, to love one another, and live happily in a justice and justice society. Therefore, if we observe this law and the ordinance which God gives us, we can bless the society and live happily and safely. And as a result, we become blessed lives where each individual lives a blessed life. If we live by the observing the law and ordinance of God, we will not be able to walk in the path of destruction because of war and the death. So the law and ordinance which God made a covenant with his people, first to allow everyone to live happily together. God is the God of the grace, but he does not cover all unconditionally in the name of love. But he gives a clear and reasonable guideline for compensation and payment for the mistake. God created a world in which the weak, the strong, and anyone could live in equality and gave them such a principle. So second, to give you a mission to know what to live and how to live. Today, people who believe in Jesus and become children of God telling what to live and how to live in this land. Most people are free from sin, but often do not have free to for their mission. The free to presented by God is the role of holy mediator, priest who can bring people to God. A true luminous being in the dark land, an alive presence of God. It is also mission to defeat the idols that make the soul unclean and not to see God. God prevents that people easily compromise and become polluted spiritually by fortune telling, and firmly forbid things that can blur a spiritual insight and ultimately bring their soul to hell. So the death sentence for the shaman, the death sentence against the freaky sex. So God gives clear standards for the death penalty in the Bible and decisively command them, and obviously causing fatal problem in our true happiness and eternal life when it is neglected. In the contrast, later in the Leviticus, we can see more in chapter 11, we are told that provision for food should be given. He just say, you become unclean if you do not comply. So in the Bible, God dictates decisively death so that the problem that arise and they destroy not only themselves, but the community, destroying the nation. Natural order created by God. It destroys spiritual order and eventually leads to destruction. God makes a covenant, not a covenant for him, but an order and standard for people to live happily. This is a story of 3,500 years from now, and this law can be applied to us even today. And moreover, we can live a blessed life when we embody the principle of justice and justice that God has given us. And chapter 24, conclusion of the covenant. In chapter 24, God makes a covenant with the people with these laws and ordinances. Not only He tells you these things, but also make them to be recorded. So you can hear them repeatedly. The method of covenant ceremony is a covenant of the blood. The blood covenant ceremony means a promise to keep this covenant with a life. That is why the covenant is important, so that you can think deeply and decide. The reason you're keeping this promise and God ordered us to keep this promise is not for Him, but for us. So if we believe in Jesus and become children of God, so if you come to the church, as Israel were on Mount Sinai, before start everything, we need to know what this promise and covenant code is about. And we should meet the heart of the God through the Bible. And indeed, there must be the decision of faith and a covenant of life. So, every one of you, look at yourself carefully and find out where about your faith journey is now. It is good to live in a place of life we are sent to, like a Canaan, the land of mission. Before you live in the land of the mission, you need to meet the sincerity of God at the place of Sinai covenant. And need to know who you are and what do you live for and how to live. So even after you became a Christian, try to follow the same path, the value of the world. Yeah, you have to reconsider seriously yourself and your faith. So without realizing So our faith is collapsing. So I hope it will be an opportunity to make a wrong and twisted process to perfect and complete. So I wonder if there is a Mount Sinai. So whether the Ten Commandments God has spoken to live as a standard of living. I pray that these rules and laws which God has always spoken to us are the way of all your life and the truth that we are working all the way to the right faith. God never claimed and serve me, I'm the best God of God. Rather, He wants to have a personal relationship with us. But still, we are following our own thought and desire. We are shaping God and distort God's image into the idol as we wanted to and expected. We were on the way to the hell. The love of God called us to the way of the life. So do not make yourself dirty and impure by sinning. Because you are called as the priesthood, as a light and soul. He's called you a God's kingdom people. Make yourself pure and purify and clean yourself. And I want you to join in His presence, and you bring the church and the family into the fair and justice by keeping this covenant. So now I want you to repent and confess to God, forgive me. Still, we are holding on to the worldly value. Help us to throw this away and hold the value of the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Amen.